Welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast from englishwithkirsty.com. I'm Kirsty, and I support multilingual professionals to discover their voice in English. On the podcast, we talk about language, learning, and intentional communication. We hear about my guests' language journeys and share tips that help you communicate in a way that makes sense and sounds like you. Welcome back to the English with Kirsty podcast. And today I have another new guest. So welcome, Zilke. It's nice to see you here on the podcast.
Hi, Kirsty. I'm happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me. And yeah, I'm glad to chat with you.
Yeah, it's been good because we've been getting to know each other a bit outside of LinkedIn, using both of our languages, which I find really cool to not only use English all the time, but today is in English so that everyone can understand what we're talking about. So maybe let's just start then by finding out who you are. So when did you, like, what's your story with multiple languages? Have you always been interested in them? And then how did that turn into a career for you?
Okay, so my name is Silke. I'm from Austria, and I'm now a freelance translator specializing in women's health and mental health and the well-being content. And I translate from English and Spanish into German. And you know, it's funny because languages have not always been my first love, actually, because when I went to middle school, it's when the first time when I learned English, I was really bad at it and I had really bad grades. And I wasn't the only one. There were some people in my class that really had a hard time with learning English. So our amazing English teacher decided to tutor us after school. And after one or two sessions, I don't know what happened, but something clicked. And that's when I started to love English and had really good grades. So I don't know what happened in these sessions, but they really helped me to love speaking English. And there's a similar story with Spanish. So after middle school, I had English and French. So when I went to high school, I went to a business school and we could choose specialization and I chose languages. So I could choose to start with French or with Spanish. And as I've had already had French in school, I was like, okay, I'm going to start with French because then it's going to be easy for me. I won't have to study much. But the problem was, that only three or four people decided to start with French, and that was not possible. So we all had to start with Spanish, because they wouldn't do classes for only three people. First I was a bit disappointed, but then I also started to love Spanish because I just, you know, I love how the language sounds and I love the person that I become when speaking Spanish. I am a bit more confident, I'm a bit louder. I don't know, do you also have that when you speak another language, your personal traits or your character changes?
Yeah, it's like different Kirsties come out. I like
it. Yeah, I also love that. And so, yeah, that's when I also decided to study languages, to study translation and interpretation. And I did my master's, my bachelor's and my master's university. And yeah, that's my journey with languages, I would say. And then I worked in a translation agency, and now I am starting out as a freelance translator.
Okay, so of all the things that you could have specialized in, why did you choose the women's health topic? Why did you feel drawn to those kind of topics and that kind of content?
First I thought, okay, I have to specialize in legal translation or tourism translation or medical translation because that's the courses we would have at university. But then one day I saw a guy on LinkedIn who has his translation agency and he translates for, he's like a cyclist, so he really enjoys cycling. And that's where he decided to specialize in. And I was like, that's really cool. So I started to dig deeper, and I noticed that over the last couple of years, I've been reading a lot about, women's health, about cycle, about how the brain works and everything. And yeah, that's when I decided to specialize in it. And I would also say it's a good specialization because the femtech boom is going on right now. So there are a lot of new companies, startups in this area that bring out new products, and yeah, need translations in German, hopefully.
Do you think it's like a question around access to information as well? Because if people can access information in English, then fine. But for those who don't have that option, information in German is necessary to make sure that they too have the same access to the information about women's health, about topics that will affect them. Is there like a language equality side to it as well for you, or?
Definitely, yeah. Women's health or health topics in general are so important for us because it, if we have those this information in German or in other languages, we can really take care of ourselves and take our the well-being in our hands, because I would say the information mainly comes in the women's health area comes mainly from the US or also from the UK. So that's where they do most research. And if we wouldn't have the information in German, it would be a real bummer because yeah, it's so important to share that information with as many women as possible so they are happy and healthy.
And in a way that makes sense, I guess, in a way that's accessible to people that haven't studied this area, but in if companies are producing information on a more kind of accessible level so that everyone can access it, then speakers of other languages should have that same access to the information.
Yeah, definitely. And one thing is to have access to the information, and another thing is to really understand what you're reading, because it can be really science-based and complicated. So it's good to also have resources that are easy to understand for someone that hasn't studied it.
Yeah, it's important work. So you've joined the language industry at an interesting time. Lots of changes going on, lots happening. How's it been for you? What would you say are the challenges, or what or who has helped you on your journey into freelancing?
Yeah, I would say the biggest challenges, like there are a few. When you're starting out, there are so many new things you have to think about. It's with every freelancer, it's like that. You have to think about, how do I market myself? How does it work? How do I do networking? Should I have a logo? Should I have a professional picture? How do I set up my LinkedIn profile? There are so many questions. And of course, also the legal paperwork, registration, everything. And I would say these are challenges that I faced. And I didn't want to go a rabbit hole and read a lot of articles or opinions about all these topics, because there are so many different ways on how to do things, so many ways how I know I don't know how it's right or wrong. Yeah, so I would say it's like the whole everything that was really, like, at the beginning, a real struggle for me.
Yeah, sometimes I think you don't know what you don't know. Like when I started, I knew there were some things I needed to learn about, but then as I started doing them, I was, oh, I didn't know that either. And then it was like you. More things get added to the list that you didn't even think about before you
Yeah.
started out.
Ah,
So.
definitely, that's it. And it's not something you learn at university, sadly. It's something that you have to inform yourself about, which is also a good thing, because when you read about it, it's more likely that you remember it and that you know how things can be done. And you also grow on a personal level. I mean, I have not been in it for so long, but I don't know how it's been for you, but on a personal level, I've learned so many things. It's amazing.
Yeah, I think you have to like trust yourself in some ways that you wouldn't, because I changed career to go into teaching. I was in communications before. And for me it was like getting this whole new identity as a freelance person. It was like I was kind of comfortable where I was. I wasn't entirely happy where I was, which is why I became a freelancer, but I knew people. People knew who I was. I knew where to get the information I needed. I was kind of comfortable. And then when I started out on my own, I didn't have any. I mean, I had history like teaching classes because you teach what you're training to teach. But I didn't have a history behind me of being a language teacher. And then some of the security that I felt in my other role, I kind of had to build myself up again, like knowing I can do this and I do know what I'm doing. Right at the beginning, it was like I found myself saying like, oh, I used to be and then saying what I used to do. That's not what I do now. I have my own business. And it was kind of learning to discover this part of you that's very new. And yeah, that took some time, and I realized I could do things that I that at first felt kind of scary, and then when you start doing them and you do them more, then you realize like, okay, this is becoming normal now. I can do this.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, it's like you have to become kind of another person, or act differently and remind yourself every day that you can. You don't have someone to tell you what to do, but you have to do it yourself. You know, you have to always think about how can I improve my business? What can I do to find clients? Is there another way I could try it? And to just not be discouraged by people telling you no, or by things going wrong. It's just progress, like to go day by day and to try to, you know, to figure everything out.
Yeah, and to trust yourself, because I mean, I think it's really important to speak with others, to get advice, to find people who are a bit further down the road, and you can learn from them. But also, not so much when I started, but now I see there are so many resources available, like you were saying, so many people telling you what you should be doing in marketing and how you should be doing everything, and then it's just like saying, okay, well, that's fine, but if I do all of these things, I'll never do anything else. And also, like some of these things are directly in conflict with each other, so I can't do all of them. And it's finding which one or ones is going to work for me. And you don't know that until you try. I think that's one of my biggest lessons. Like I have to get it right. I have to get it right first time. And then you don't know what's right until you try something and think, I don't actually enjoy this. I thought this would be a fun activity, but it's just stressing me out, and I don't want to work like that, and then try something else. I don't mean changing your mind every 2 minutes, because you have to give things a chance, but really like seeing things as an experiment rather than I must get it right helped me a lot, because then it made me curious rather than feeling like I was going to be judged if something didn't work out first time.
Yeah, and I totally get that, and that's what I at the beginning wanted to avoid, to have like several opinions. So I d decided to go for one opinion, and so I looked up for a mentor that could help me, someone who has been in the language industry for several years already. And so I decided to ask Valentina Alia. You've talked to her recently, right, on your
Yeah,
podcast.
she was on last week's episode, so
Yeah,
go back and listen
so
to that if you want to.
so I decided to have her as my mentor, because I wanted to have exactly that one opinion, and someone like I wanted to take a shortcut, you know, because she has been in the industry for so long, and she knows what works and what doesn't, and why not help yourself with information from someone else to not make so many mistakes. I mean, you're going to make mistakes along the way. But if someone can help to make not as many mistakes, that's really nice. And I've learned a lot from her, especially because she was like my accountability partner, and she wanted me to have certain things done until certain times. So that was really helpful to have someone tell you, okay, now you do that and that. that will also help you, you know, like setting up a LinkedIn profile and doing the portfolio, starting to network or to even to have video calls with other people from LinkedIn. And that's how I started to get into everything.
Yeah, it's like having a system, because if you, even with something like, I don't know, a language course, if you say you're going to learn on your own and then you don't do anything, nobody's going to know. But if you know that you're supposed to have written a text about this topic by a certain date, and then you feel bad if you haven't done it, or you know that someone's going to be checking in on you. Because I haven't done a business mentoring program in that sense, but I sometimes have accountability sessions with other professionals, and we say, okay, by next time we meet, I'm gonna have done this, and the other person will do the same, and then you've got someone to ask, like, did you do it? No, and then it's not the end of the world, but it's like the part of you that wants to get things ticked off the list is more likely to do it when you know that there's someone asking you, and also someone who has more experience as well can, as you say, it can help you to take the shortcuts rather than having to figure out everything for yourself.
Yeah, definitely. It's so useful to have someone by your side or someone, accountability partner, that just tells you or asks you about how you're doing with your things, if you finished something. And you know, that's also I started a peer group recently with other translators starting out, and we meet once a month. And it's so nice to have this space because that's where you can be really honest about your progress and how you're doing with freelancing in the language industry. And yeah, it's really helpful to talk about the struggles and to give each other some tips on how we could improve or what we could change. And yeah, it feels like a really safe space.
Yeah, and I think that's an important thing that you've just touched on there. It's something that I didn't do at the beginning, and it took me quite a long time to realize it was a good thing to do. And then I had a few different attempts at finding what worked for me. And in the end, I did pretty much what you've done. I created my own. But like, finding community is so important, but it can be hard to know where to start. So I think it's interesting that you've been proactive there, and you've said, okay, I'm going to set up this peer group and find people in a similar situation who want to network with others.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's I remember I posted about the peer group because I wanted to ask people about who wanted to join. And you know, there were like more than 50 people interested, and that really shows that that's something people are looking for, to have a
Yeah.
group where they can just talk about everything.
Yeah, people are looking for connection, I think, especially when you have a role that means that you're working alone. I think sometimes, I mean, I used to work in a big office with too many people, and I did not enjoy it. It was just like sensory overload for me, and I wouldn't do that again. But at the same time, I don't miss that. But I was missing people to bounce ideas off, people to ask, like, how did you deal with this? Or just to say, yeah, I know how that feels. Or
Yeah, exactly. Like the human connection is so important. To have someone that goes through the same thing as you, it's like another kind of connection you have with the person.
and you're doing that in your second language as well, is that right? It's an English network that
Yeah,
you've set up.
we do it in English because people are from, you know, from everywhere, from Italy, from Greece, from Germany, from the UK, so it's like a really mixed group, which is fun.
Yeah, and it's also using your other languages. Like, for me, everything seems to be in English, so I'm looking for things that are not, and like trying to go and join them. I haven't set up anything that isn't in English yet. Maybe. Oh no, I have. I've got the German group. So yeah, I have that too. Like, for me, although I'm not a translator, like I do want to use my other languages as well to be part of my business and marketing, and also to use them at events. So it's nice to have that alternative sometimes to not only be using my first language.
It's nice that you also want to use your other languages to reach other people, to improve the language yourself, right?
And to find the business Kirsty in German, like, because having a chat with your friend is not the same as talking about what you're going to do in marketing next year. it's different vocabulary. It's and I want to be able to talk about my business, my goals, my services, like what people can, how they can help people, all these things. I need to be able to have those conversations in ultimately all of my languages, but German is the one I'm starting with because it's the least terrifying.
It's good. It's good to start with that one, to get out of the comfort zone, right? One
Yeah.
language at a time.
Yeah, one step at a time, one language at a time, and then yeah, like I can see why that you didn't do it for that reason, but I can see why, like, for you it makes sense to do that in English because then you're bringing people together and you have this common language, which is English, and then everyone can participate. And talking about community, like we met on LinkedIn, and I was thinking about your post because I like to read your posts. You have it just feels like thought goes into them, and that you tend to get quite a lot of comments and responses, but I think it's because you've put the thought in first and found a topic that people want to talk about or that people can relate to. And I think that's also really cool because I know that you are fairly new to the industry as well, but you've already got that. You kind of, for me, you established that as the way that you do your posts, and I think it's really cool. Was that intentional, or is that just how you are, how you communicate?
I would say at the beginning, like the first month posting on LinkedIn, my posts were a bit different. Like I was trying out also to post in German or in Spanish, but after a little while, I noticed that what I wanted to post about, and it just came natural to me. I would say I started to post about topics that really mattered to me, or that I knew others would also find interesting to read because. They also it's topics that every one of us maybe struggles with, or I try to be as authentic as I can and to not only talk about the good things and everything that works out, but also the things that we struggle with or that might be harder or questions even. So yeah, I would say it comes very natural to me.
And it feels like a human wrote them. It feels like, I don't know, there's like your voice running through the post. It doesn't feel like AI. Some posts really do feel like AI on LinkedIn, and just like, okay. And for me, that's like a massive turn off. But if something feels like it was written by a genuine human, I think that's what really sets some posts apart more than others. So
Oh,
that's
thank
good.
you. That's a real compliment, although like nowadays it's a real compliment, right? If
Yeah.
someone says that to you a couple of years ago, everyone I suppose wrote posts themselves. But I think also that's what the things I translate, like women's health or health, mental health, the content is needs to be to engage, build trust with the audience. It needs to be real. It needs to be to empathize with the reader, and so that's why I think it's also so easy for me to write the posts and to have people engage with it.
Yeah, because I don't know how that feels to read a poor translation in terms of something medical, health related, because my first language is English, and most of the time this kind of content isn't translated from another language into English. I've seen it with some beauty products, maybe like some very questionable translations, like, but nothing related to health. Or And I think that must be the quickest way to destroy trust, if it's something that is important to you and that you care about, and then you see like a really bad job done with the translation. That must really, I think once trust has been lost, it's really hard to get it back. It takes time to build trust, but if somebody destroys it, then it's really hard to get the trust back.
Yeah, definitely, and it's a shame, if maybe companies or people use AI to translate their content, especially in these settings, which are so important. And you know, where, like you said, when you read it, you just feel that something is off, that something doesn't sound like you would say it normally in German. So that's when you notice, okay, I'm sure they used AI, so how can I trust them with their product or with their service if they didn't use a human translator to use their content, you know, to translate the content.
Yeah, it takes a long time to rebuild trust if that hasn't been done and you haven't got that human touch to know what just sounds weird or doesn't sound right. So in terms of the content, is this something you enjoy? Is it a good part of your week when you're creating LinkedIn posts, or do you like writing them?
Yeah, I do. I enjoy them. You know, sometimes I write them beforehand if I have a lot of ideas. I can write like 6 or 8 beforehand. But sometimes I also don't want to force it. If I don't have an idea, I will wait a couple of days, and then there's always something that comes up that I can write about. And that's, yeah, because I want my posts to be authentic, and I want to not force myself. Yeah. What about you?
I like creating content that is inspired by stuff that happened. Like sometimes I have an idea and I'll write about it, but a lot of the time I've noticed the ones that I've got more comments is when I've been telling a story. And as a kid, I never liked writing stories. I kind of liked more factual stuff maybe, but like I'm not creating stories, I'm telling true stories, and that somehow connects with people. So I think what I really enjoy is when a post generates conversations, because yeah, sure, I like likes if I can see the likes number going up, like yay, people like my picture or whatever. But if I get a post that gets more comments, then I feel good about that, because then I can start conversations. So it's like I do like writing, but I also like it when a post starts conversations and maybe they carry on in a private message, or maybe they happen on the post. It doesn't matter, it's still a conversation. But that's sometimes when I feel like I succeeded, because I got people talking and then we find out about each other. And for me, that's a kind of networking as well. You learn about other people, learn their stories, and find that you have things in common. And none of this is related to like the sales stuff that people say that the LinkedIn is for, but I don't believe LinkedIn. I mean, sure, I am really happy when I find new clients, and nowadays most of my clients do come from LinkedIn, but I think that happens because I'm putting the work in, building relationships, trying to build trust and authenticity, and like not just thinking like buy my courses, buy me. It's like I think it happens if people want to engage with you. And I think that's what I like about the content creation, that it's like starting conversations.
Yeah, that's true. That's really nice. And I also feel like on LinkedIn, the language industry group community is also very nice, and they like to engage with each other's post. And as you said, when you post about your story, it's just something people can relate to easier. And I also love that when like you post something and people comment on it, and then you start a conversation in the chat. Because you want to talk more about it with another person. That's like really nice to have that real human connection there. And although it's like it starts with writing, it can already feel like a true connection, right? Because you have something in common and you talk about it, you open up a bit about it. So it's nice to have to do networking that way.
Yeah, because it can totally be through comments, or maybe you decide to have a virtual coffee with someone, or then you start following them and then you see something they post and that's interesting, and then you start another conversation there. I think it's very, when it's organic like that, it's more meaningful, because I know there are people using bots to write their comments too, and sometimes I see them like Am I going to engage with that? I mean, if it's not offensive, I don't remove it, but it doesn't make me feel inclined to start having a conversation if it follows this very generic AI pattern for commenting. But if you can see that somebody's like taken the time and thought about a comment that they want to leave, and then that feels good. It doesn't have to be in a big conference setting. Not that there's anything wrong with them, but networking can take so many different forms. It can be written, it can be just two people in a Zoom room. It can be, I don't know, going for a walk somewhere if you live close enough to them. It can be all kinds of stuff, but it can be whatever it needs to be for us. And I think sometimes we forget the freedom we have. Like, we have a lot of responsibilities as well. If it's your business, but also we have a lot of freedom to decide what's gonna work for us.
Definitely. The best part is when you finally meet someone in real life that you've been chatting with for a couple of months or had video calls with. It's so nice to finally meet that person. I recently had that actually, that I met a girl. She went to Alicante to be on vacation. And yeah, we finally met. It was really nice because we immediately had something to talk about because we have the same job. So it's really a really good way to go about networking, in a human way.
Yeah, I did it last year as well. I went to Berlin and I was there and I told a few people that I was going, and then there were people that like colleagues. I went to an event, I went to a lock lunch, and then I also arranged to meet with some of my clients that I've known for a really long time, some of them. Not all at the same time. It was spread out over a couple of days, but it was so nice to meet people in person that I felt I knew them really well, and we'd working together, we share different things about our businesses, our lives. Like, I felt like I knew quite a lot about them and them about me, but we'd never actually met. So when we finally got together to do that, that was really nice. So I hear lots of like LinkedIn bashing sometimes, but I think it's a tool. It's how you use it. And yeah, there is some like really stupid content on LinkedIn, and I don't need it in my feed either, but there are also some really nice people, and it's about deciding what you want to see in your feed and what you want to have in your life, what kind of energy, and avoiding things that don't do you good. Like, if something is not, if it's like triggering for you, or if you don't want to see it, then unfollow, whatever. But we do have the power to collate our feeds as to how we want to see them.
Definitely, we decide which way we want to use these platforms, or even as you said, which people, or the people we are following there. And if it's content that is negative or doesn't do as good, then yeah, we just can unfollow them, and we don't have to go through a rabbit hole and start to feel pessimistic about the world, about AI, about our jobs. We have the power to control what we consume and what we share, and that's a good thing.
Yeah. What kind of discussions we spend our time in, and finding new things as well, different perspectives and things I hadn't thought of. I enjoy that as well, talking with people. But yes, yeah, so it sounds like you're having a good time. Do you have any advice that you would give to anyone who is maybe just finishing their education and thinking about starting out as a freelancer, or anyone who's like career changing, because that happens too. People are doing something else and then they maybe an in-house position, maybe they want to go freelance. Do you have any advice for those first weeks, months?
Yeah, definitely. I would advise them to start posting on LinkedIn to show who they are, to show what they offer, to talk a lot with experienced translators if they wanna work in the translation or in the language industry, to talk to people, to just write them on LinkedIn. They won't bite. To just to ask honest questions, because most people are willing to share their advice, and yeah, it will be a shortcut for you. Because why should you make a lot of mistakes if there are people that have already figured them out, and why shouldn't you use the information to build your business? And yeah, and another advice would be, I know it's scary, I know it's new, but get out of your comfort zone as often as you can. Because being scared and being out of your comfort zone means that you're doing something that's worth it, on a personal level, especially. And if you have your more confident yourself, then you can also put that confidence in your business, and you can better show what you sell or what your services are and what you love doing.
Yeah, and you're only like the new person once. So if you go to an event and it's a bit scary because you don't know anyone, next time you probably will know someone. If you go back, then you're not completely new because you've been there once. So sometimes the first step is the hardest, but then it gets easier the more you do something, or the more you see the same group of people, or even something like posting after the first time, then hopefully it gets easier because you know how it feels, you know what it's like, and
Definitely,
yeah.
yeah, sorry. It will definitely get easier the more you do it, and it's just a trial and error to just do the things, although you're scared, although you can make mistakes, which is very normal. We should all make more mistakes because that shows that we are trying out more things, you know. So yeah, and because of the question you asked me, I would also advise everyone who's new to look for a peer group, to look for people who are in the exact same situation, because then you together you can go through the situations where you might struggle, and to just, you know, exchange your ideas and talk about your emotions. That's, for me, it really helped me to do this.
Yeah, and it could be things that you maybe don't want to admit to somebody who you think has got a lot of things, like somebody in the
Yeah.
same. I think it's good to have input from both, but also just to people that know how you're feeling. And sometimes you just don't know what you don't know. It's not a peer group related topic, but at the last German networking, for example, somebody recommended a course that she'd been on, and somebody else posted a link to a webinar, and somebody else, there was a third thing, but it's the same kind of thing, but it's like different topics that were coming up that people wanted to know about. And someone in the room had just finished some training on that, and then they were able to share it. And it was just like you don't always know what's available. And when you start talking with other people, then you can discover things that you didn't even know existed.
Definitely, I've already had some colleagues of mine recommend me, you know, some a women's health event or a translator event to go to that I just haven't seen somewhere on LinkedIn. So yeah, it was really helpful, and I'm glad that, because when you interact with more people, they also have you in mind, and then when they see an event that could be useful for you, they are going to write you about it, and yeah, that will also help you with everything to become better, and yeah.
Both in your language pair and people who are doing similar work with different language pairs, I guess both are helpful because some will give you local stuff that's going on or local events. Others may come across events that are useful from a subject matter point of view, and then you can access them as well.
Definitely, whether it's people who are in the same situation starting out as freelancers, or are live in the same city, or have the same specialization, there's always some very, very good input from every one of these groups.
Yeah, so your plan then is to keep going, to keep talking with people, keep creating content. I hope you get lots of inspiration. I think if we look for it, then inspiration does show up. Like sometimes if I sit down and think, right, I'm going to write something now for LinkedIn, and my mind is blank. But sometimes when I'm just doing other things, an idea will come to me, based on life or something that happened. And then yeah, it's like looking for inspiration rather than just hoping it will appear. No, I mean, if you look too hard, it won't appear because you're trying too hard. But if you're open and seeing the possible content ideas that have something to do with work and something that you can share. I think that yeah, that is a good plan. Would you like to do anything more kind of formal with writing, like a newsletter or a blog or anything like that, or is that like a not something you thought about?
I mean, I could imagine doing it in the future, but right now I really want to focus on, on LinkedIn, on posting there regularly and finding clients that way and engaging with posts from others. Yeah, that's where my head is right now, mainly. Yeah. And as you said, I also feel like inspiration comes when you don't expect it and when you take a walk or when you clean the dishes. Then you suddenly have an idea to write something about, and so yeah, that's nice.
So keep doing it. I look forward to reading more of your posts. Thank you for coming on the podcast and for telling us about your experiences. I think sometimes we can hear a lot of like really negative stuff going around on LinkedIn, but I think it's really nice to hear from somebody who's positive and who's getting on with, being visible, looking for clients, creating good content. And if people want to connect with you, then the best way is LinkedIn, right? I'll add your link to the page and they can connect with you and find out more about you there.
Definitely, yeah. LinkedIn is the page where they can find me best. And yeah, thank you, Kirsty, for having me here and for helping me share my voice and my experience. It was really nice talking to you.
Great. Well, maybe we'll find another topic in the future and you can come back and join us again. But for now, thank you for being here. And yeah, it's great to hear your experiences.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the English with Kirsty podcast. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is kirsty@englishwithkirsty.com, or you can go to www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast, where you'll find information about the individual episodes.